Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
On today's wrestling news, Pat McAfee's in-ring return has been confirmed.
Tony Khan provides updates on Jeff Hardy and much more.
Got all the latest on the Money in the Bank qualifiers.
And even more matches have been added to Forbidden Door.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things wrestling news. But before we get into it, make sure you like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories, subscribe to the channel, and each story is in the description. Click the timestamps and off you go. But first up, Pat McAfee is in-ring return has been confirmed on SmackDown last night, sort of, pretty much. So he kind of officially challenged Baron Corbin to a match at SummerSlam last night. Obviously, they had that big sort of confrontation, I guess, last week after Baron Corbin lost to Madcap Moss. And they kind of got in each other's faces and was shouting and stuff. Well, he's called him out, but Michael Cole also said on SmackDown that Baron Corbin won't respond until next week on SmackDown. So I guess they'll make it official there, or he'll either say they won't and then somehow they'll get to it. But it seems like it's going to be this anyway, let's face it. They wouldn't be teasing all this if it wasn't going to end up at Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. So Pat McAfee's had four matches so far, technically, I guess. Obviously, the first one being in NXT against Adam Cole. Then he had the War Games match. And then he was at WrestleMania this year where he faced Austin Theory. And then technically, he also faced Vince McMahon directly afterwards. So this will be his fifth match in WWE. Exciting times.
Yeah, what a run. What a run. I mean, I honestly, right now when you look at Pat, every time he picks up a mic and he starts just performing to the masses, it's incredible to think that this dude is literally not a wrestler. He's a guy who likes to play wrestle, really. But he's very good at it. But you know what I mean? Like, he's not really got the experience of everyone else. And he's brilliant. He just excels on the mic. He's somebody who's not overproduced. Who'd have thunk it? And I feel like this, in terms of like for the Baron Corbin side of things, it does very much feel like a bit of a gift, bit of a reward for maybe having his little old end of days kicked out of at WrestleMania. It feels like a little peace offering. Like, sorry, Baron, there you go. Have a big marquee celebrity match against Pat McAfee, who you'll probably still lose against, but there you go. It's something, so you're going to be put
end
over.
Of days things was so dumb.
I know.
So dumb.
Silly.
Waste. Pointless. Drew McIntyre hasn't even bloody mentioned it ever since.
No. Didn't need it. He was already over. He was
absolutely
already.
Absolutely didn't need it.
Going to be incredible for Clash of the Castle, but it is
bad
what it
times.
Is. Yeah, exactly.
Bad times at WWE High.
I know, but it's given us Pat McAfee again, so I don't care. It's all good. But speaking of things that are coming up now in the future that have been announced and, like, I don't know, like potential things and all the rest of it, it was a crap segue, but it's the only way I'm going to get into this story, so I'm going to go with it. Tony Khan, he was press conferencing, wasn't he? He was media calling, he was talking
He was a bit, yeah.
Yeah, he was going at it about Forbidden Door, which is obviously on Sunday, the mammoth card that we're going to go into more detail on very soon. He was talking about a lot of things. He was talking about the potential for a Forbidden Door 2, and he said there's already been talks of that because of just how well, like, this event, the one that's going down in the United Center in Chicago, it's sold so well when it comes to ticket sales that they are obviously going to think about maybe doing a sequel of Forbidden Door 2, part 2, so, I don't know, something like that, phase 2, we'll see, because they've been doing all the weird Avengers circles, so that's my kind of weird, yeah, just justification for that. So he was talking about that, and he was also talking about loads of other things. He said the mystery when it comes to the Bryan Danielson mystery, the Zach Sabre Jr. match that's upcoming. He said that's going to be one of the most exciting things ever, because obviously he was talking about the fact that his roster's so big. It's helped him when it comes to all these injuries that have happened with CM Punk, with Danielson, with Kyle O'Reilly, with Jungle Boy now, apparently. He's also, everyone's dropping. It's not good. But he said, I think there's going to be a lot of great moments to expect on the show. But one thing I know is this great moment when we introduce Zack Sabre Jr.'s mystery opponent. I'm really excited about it, and I wish it had happened under different circumstances. Claudio, where are you? Come on, just blow up the internet. I can't wait. It's going to be great. And he was also talking about Jeff Hardy, because obviously that's been a very much prominent story when it comes to AEW right now, like what's going down with Jeff in terms of like his progress with his treatment, everything like that. And he also, well, Khan really was quick to stress how this was not a similar situation to what had gone down with John Moxley. The two very different struggles, very different treatments that happened, and the situations that led to the treatments are very different as well. So he said, I'm really glad nobody got hurt, but what Jeff did going out and driving is different from the other thing, and I just don't like hearing them the two compared, if that makes sense. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't give Jeff a lot of credit for now doing the right thing, and this is what we said: Jeff's got to do the right thing if he wants to stay with AEW, because it's his last chance. So just saying it how it is, Jeff, you got to sort your stuff out, because it is the last chance. Fair enough. I respect that. He's just gone out and said it. It's now there in the public domain. And also sticking with that, in terms of a wellness policy as a whole, he went into a lot of detail on that. But the key takeaway when it comes to AEW's wellness policy is that he said they can be the most important person in the company in terms of drawing revenue, or somebody who isn't on TV as much and it isn't drawing as much revenue. It doesn't matter. It's the same quality of first-class treatment if they need it. As far as everything else, we do have a policy in place about making sure people come in and show up to work in the condition to work. That's the most important thing. There's a testing policy. So I'm not too sure if we've heard a lot about AEW's wellness policy or testing policy or anything like that over the last couple of years. Like, for me, it doesn't spring to mind that it's been mentioned a lot, but it's interesting to note that they do have one in place. But it also makes you think, how did Jeff in the first place get into the condition where he was wrestling those matches against the likes of like the Young Bucks and things like that? He clearly didn't look well before that match, but somehow got into it. So that's a bit murky, but it's good to know that maybe they do have something in place in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been one of those things that I think people have wondered about within, like, sort of backstage within AEW for quite a while, about what's in place and what's there. Obviously, WWE have been very open about their wellness policy because they've had issues in the past. Mm-hmm. And maybe it just takes something like an event like this or a situation like this to sort of shine a light on it until they say, like, well, yes, we do have these things in place, and they are there to help people. But yeah, right decision, I think. He really needs to get help. It needs to get sorted, and you can't continue on like that. You just absolutely can't.
No.
But I do want to cycle back to when Tony was talking about the mystery opponent for Zack Sabre Jr., because just the full quote from it is absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's like a really, really excited school child who just can't wait to get this thing out. Yeah. I just want to read this out because it's insane. So he said, it's very fitting to go back to the United Center where we've only had one show and it was a great moment, and I know for sure we're going to have that great moment. I think there's going to be a lot of great moments to expect on the show, but one thing I know is that this great moment when we introduce Zack Sabre's mystery opponent, I'm really excited about it, and I wish it had happened under different circumstances, because it's going to be a great moment. I think it's going to be a great moment, you know.
Funny feeling. Small chance. Could be a great moment.
Something tells me.
It's going to be big great. Cass. I can't wait.
It's going to be fun, no matter what it is. But moving back over to WWE for a bit, there's obviously Money in the Bank qualifiers going on, because that's happening not this weekend, but the weekend after. So on SmackDown last night, Sami Zayn beat Shinsuke Nakamura. And wait for this. He beat him clean.
Yeah, I can't justify anything in that.
What?
What
world are we living in right
Madness.
Now? It was a fantastic match as well, gotta say. Hit him with the Helluva kick and beat him clean. What? I don't even know.
I like the finish though. It was a big Helluva kick and it was like, oh, what? It was great. Yeah, it was cool.
Good stuff. So he joins Seth Rollins and Omos, who have already qualified. And then there was a really odd thing with Drew and Sheamus where they were taken out of the match that they were already told they were going to be in last week, but then they had to beat the Usos to be put back in the match, and then they beat the Usos, and so now they're back in the match.
Yeah, it screamed, let's fill out the TV show this week because we don't have any plans. We may have blown our load a little bit too quickly.
But let's fill out the TV show by beating our tag team champions with a random thrown together tag team who hate each other.
just, yeah. Don't try and break it down, man. Just step away and just view the thing as the whole.
Move on.
Just, yeah. But anyway, they're back in the match. Why they went through all that, I'll never know. But on the women's side of things, it was going to be Tamina versus Aaliyah in a qualifying match. Mm-hmm. But we were told that Aaliyah's got some kind of injury, so she wasn't in it, and she was replaced by... Tamina. It was going to be Shotzi versus Aaliyah, mm-hmm. and then Tamina replaced Aaliyah because she was injured. But Shotzi won, and she's going into that ladder match, and she's going to be amazing in it because she does... If you haven't seen Shotzi in a ladder match, go back and watch that one in NXT. You can find it very easily, and she does some nuts stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if it was a ladder match. It might have been a street fight or some kind of chaotic thing.
It might have
thing.
Been, yeah. They just happened to have a ladder in it.
Yeah, and she That's just true. Jumped through about five... It was ridiculous. I think it was over the tag titles with her and Ember Moon. Madness.
Yes.
Madness.
It was. So yeah, go back and watch that, because it's great stuff. But she joins Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Lacey Evans, Asuka, and Raquel Rodriguez with one spot remaining in that match, it seems. Mm-hmm. So yeah, new stuff added to the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and it was the fact that you said that that's next weekend. We've got Forbidden Door this weekend, then we've got SummerSlam at the end of like that. It's just, there's so much stuff
yep.
coming. So
never stop.
Yeah, it's great.
Never stop.
I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, it's incredible because like even if the TV shows haven't been great, like the actual product in general leads you, if you had hair, pulling it out at times, like that is a thing. But the actual pay-per-views are always incredible. Like when it comes to this kind of yeah. stuff, especially with Money in the Bank. Like I've just been cycling through all the old Money in the Bank matches over the last couple of weeks. And they're great. And I watched last year's men's one again the other day. And obviously, it was a very specific situation. First pay-per-view after all the pandemic and everything else. The crowd was incredibly yep. hot. But I feel like maybe we're going to get something else like that because both matches at this point, even like if you look at like somebody like Omos thrown into that match, it's going to be crazy seeing him just like...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With huge ladders, is he going to do the whole Big Show thing where they bring out an extra big ladder, or maybe he doesn't even have to use the ladder, he just puts his hand up and he can get the back. It's going to be cool. It's
I'm just waiting for that moment when he goes to tree slam someone, he lifts them up and then they grab the
just
thing,
pull it down.
They'll be right there.
It'd be great. I think Ricochet needs to be in that match just so he can do something crazy off of him. My mind, the creativity, it's great. But before we get
and
there,
Sami Zayn needs to win.
He does need to win, obviously, after battering Shinsuke Nakamura with his Helluva kick. The honorary Uso for the win. We'll keep banging that drum.
Love it.
But the drum that needs not banging anymore, because it's this weekend, like, you don't need to, if you've not already been committed to watching this show at this point, then you're probably not going to watch it. But you should, because it looks great. We've got even more matches now on the Forbidden Door card, because more were announced on Rampage. There were a few leaks, people saying, oh, there's going to be more matches if you watch Rampage. Now Rampage has actually happened. We've seen what those matches are. It is Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, they're going to be teaming up. They've obviously had their differences recently and just a bit of bickering, a bit of back and forth. They're going to be teaming. They're going to be staying on the same page long enough to take on El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. I'm going to ruin everyone's names when I reel off this card in a minute. So that's one of the pre-show matches that was announced on Rampage. I'm sure it's going to be a great one. On top of that, you've also got QT Marshall and Aaron Solo going to take on Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. I don't think I butchered that one. That's going to be another pre-show match. And then on top of that, we're going to have Max Caster and the Gun Club versus Team New
Never
Japan.
Let you do this, sorry.
No, you should not. But you know what? This is what Saturdays are for. They're going to be taking on the New Japan Pro Wrestling, LA Dojos, the DKC, Kevin Knight, Alex Coughlin, and Yuya Yumura. I hate you, Phil. So yeah, that was already announced anyway. That's going to be on the pre-show. But the card altogether is going to have 12 matches on it. It's going to be a biggie. But it's going to be great. Like, this is what you... If you're not prepared for this when you're coming into an AEW or a New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view, you're about to get thrown into the deep end with this, because all the matches are probably going to be of substantial length. They're all going to be brilliant from the looks of it. You've got the interim AEW World title match, John Moxley against Hiroshi Tanahashi. You've got the Fatal 4-Way for the All Atlantic title. It's going to be Miro, Pac, Malakai Black and Clark Connors, who's jumping in there because Tomohiro Ishii obviously got injured. You've got the 4-Way over the IWGP Heavyweight World title. That's going to be Kazuchika Okada versus Adam Cole versus Adam Page, the Hangman, and Jay White, who's obviously the current champion. You've got the Winners Take All Triple Threat Tag Team match, which is going to be the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions FTR taking on the IWGP Tag Team Champions the United Empire, Jeff Cobb and Great Okan, who had a really weird Instagram post I'm not going to go into too much detail on right now. Roppongi Vice are also going to be in that match, Trent Barretta and Rocky Romero. It's a winner take all. You got the AEW Women's World Title match, which is Tony Storm, Thunder Rosa. You've also got the IWGP United States Heavyweight Title match, which is Orange Cassidy taking on Will Ospreay. Got the Bullet Club, which obviously are the AEW World Tag Team Champions. Sorry, no, you've got the Bullet Club, which is Hukuleo and El Fantasmo, and the AEW World Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks. You've also got Dudes with Attitude, Darby Allin, Sting, and Los Ignorables de Japón, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takagi.
Nailed it!
I'm doing so well. You've got Jericho, Suzuki, and Guevara taking on Eddie Kingston, Umino, and the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, Wheeler Yuta himself. Zack Sabre Jr., obviously, he's going to be taking on his mystery opponent, Cordio. That's going to be going down. What's his name? I can't think what his name is now. The guy on commentary. I can't think what his name is. But Excalibur makes that look a lot easier than I did it. So there you go.
He is much better at it than you.
Sold the card for you, ladies and gents. Go get New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW's Forbidden Door show going on air.
Hey, if you were excited before, I'm sure you are now.
You gave me this story, Phil. All right. I did what I did.
That was a mistake. But let's move over to your Twitter questions. I should say as well, Will Bourne and Hapfoot are going to be doing a live stream for that starting at 12:30 a.m. our time, which will be like 7:30 Eastern, I think. So join us for that and watch some wrestling with us. But yeah, Twitter questions. First one comes from Kyle, who says, hey, do you see Forbidden Door as an annual event? And if so, would you like them to do a brand versus brand elimination match featuring some big names?
Yeah, I guess. Like, if you really stacked it, it's a tough one with this, because if you really do stack that kind of match, then the rest of the card's maybe going to suffer, because you're not going to have those big names sprinkled in throughout the rest of it. But just for a one-off, yeah, it'd be really cool seeing the best of each, like, team go at it in one elimination match. Maybe just build it as, like, a big hour-long, three-hour-long match. Do that. Yeah, three-hour-long elimination match. Every single person has, like, a five-star classic within it. Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, let's not do that. I don't know if it'll become an annual thing. Obviously, Tony Khan, in your story, was teasing at a Forbidden Door 2. I think the amount of politics that goes into these things might make it difficult to become an annual thing. Because obviously, Tony Khan's been talking about the politics, making it a bit difficult to book this card. And I think I do like the idea of a big multi-man match, whether it's like 10 people in one match, because then it frees up the rest of the card to have a few more one-on-ones. And I think that's what this card is missing. Like when you think Forbidden Door, you think AEW versus New Japan, you think the dream matches that you can make within that. And there's not a lot of them on this card.
I think they are giving themselves...
It's going to be great.
A bit of space, aren't they? They're giving themselves a bit of room to grow. Like, obviously, if it does really well, money talks. Like, so they probably will want to do it again. They probably want to save the real eye-watering one-on-one matches for later down the road. We've already got stuff like Moxley against Tanahashi. I mean, come on. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, we got that. So, but yeah, so hopefully it's building doors, building bridges, and opening doors and building bridges, I guess. And we can do more of this in the future, because there's a lot more. There's a lot more meat on those bones to pick.
Damn right.
So the next question comes from Captain OCD, who says, who has the best kip-up in wrestling? His choice is Orange Cassidy. Both hands in the pocket. Still good, does it?
I really like that one. That's a good choice. Ah, I like a kip-up.
That is a very good choice.
I've never been able to do a kip-up, so I'm still trying. Still trying my best. It's very impressive.
I can do a kip-up in a wrestling ring, but I can't do it on like a hard floor. I need the bounce. I need the extra spring.
Colour me impressed, Phil, because that's something I just cannot do. I do not have the athleticism to do that. But some of these I do like, I really, really like, and he stopped doing it in this same way, but Drew McIntyre used to do his kip up with his mic in hand after doing a Claymore, and I adored that.
That was good.
That was great.
That was really good.
I didn't even drop the microphone. It was great. Love that.
That's a good shout. I've got a few because I really like hip-hop. Yeah. So Ricochet, because they go in, like, when they hit him with the shoulder block and he goes down and then immediately springs back up again. Nuts. Yeah. No idea how you managed to do that. No. Like, feet never hit the floor. It's just shoulders and back straight back up again. And Sammy Guevara does it this way. And I think Jack Evans as well, where they, like, kip up, but, like, they just, like, slowly come back up. Like, they land and they're almost, like, still backwards. And then they just use their entire core to come back up again. Yeah. No idea how you managed to do that. And, like, just do it so slowly and smoothly. It's, like, just looks absolutely incredible.
And then the Miz is really good.
Yeah, and the Miz is. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with Shawn Michaels. I mean, it's probably not the best kip-up, but the way he uses it in matches is the best.
Effortless as well. Yeah, that's a great one.
So the final question of the day comes from BRY, who says, "What's up, Gareth and King of the Edits? What would you guys consider your match of the year so far?"
Oh, this is so tough, because you think what's actually gone down this year, it's crazy. We've been spoiled. For me, it's a bit of a cop-out, I guess, because it's probably the only WWE match that could really, like, bump shoulders and elbows with the kind of stuff that's coming out of AEW and New Japan right now. But the Cody Seth one, just with the added drama of that peck, that torn titty just took things up a notch, and I loved it. Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely top class stuff. I would be remiss without saying CM Punk versus MJF, because just all of that story and that match at the end of it, absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I've also got to give a shout out to FTR versus the Briscoes at the Ring of Honor show on Mania weekend. Incredible. Yeah. Even though I couldn't be there because I had to go and watch SmackDown.
You got lucky.
God damn you. Hamlet and Wilborn were there. I was at SmackDown. I can't even remember. We saw the Undertaker thing though, so that was absolutely fantastic.
And you saw Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. That was a pretty good one. That was a pretty good one.
That is true. That is also good. But there's been a lot this year. It's been a good year.
It has, yeah.
Wrestling's good.
We've still got
time. Pretty great.
We've still got time. So
we have.
A lot more could come out.
But that's it. That is the news. Thank you very much for joining us. I do want to give a massive shout out to everyone who bought a ticket for our Clash Near the Castle show, because somehow we still have no idea why it sold out in like less than 4 hours. So cool. Thank you so much. That's so weird. We did not expect that to happen. We are working with the venue to try and unlock some more space. So there might be some like standing tickets that we can sell as well. But watch this space. We'll probably find out sometime next week. And we'll let you know on the news videos and like on other things as well. We'll let you know. But hopefully there'll be some more tickets available, because it is sold out. Absolutely madness.
Crazy.
And thank you very, very much. And we will see you there. If you want to, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow Gareth.
At gmorgan04, and I will keep pronouncing Japanese names wrong.
You can follow me at Bill My Chambers. I'll try and pronounce them right. You can follow all of us at What Culture WWE. It's just the difference between me and you.
Alright.
What else? Subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below what you think of all of today's stories and what you think have been the best matches of 2022 so far, and could any of the matches at Forbidden Door maybe top those? Let us know. And most importantly, I guess, have yourselves a bloody good day.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.